Let's get to our guest now. Tuha Chow is head of Fixed Income Asia, joining us from Rebecca here in Singapore to talk all things China and specifically the bond market. Wanted to get your broader thoughts, though, on the overall economy as we're continuing to face so many headwinds. And now we're seeing the Chinese province of Sichuan extending these industrial power cuts to some users. This really lies into the effect of what more stimulus we can expect to see from authorities. Today it's the LPR, but what's your view in terms of further stimulus we can see here?
Yes, I think we think that it's going to have to look beyond monetary policies. And I mean, 10 basis points, I don't think is going to be significant, given that we've seen most of the data is saying that actually demand for credit isn't the problem. You know, there isn't any demand for much credit. What, you know, you're saying the cost of credit isn't the problem. So what we're looking for is for them to go beyond this and actually start giving us some more fiscal stimulus, preferably from the central government.
And what would that look like? What would you expect there?
I think we'd like obviously more infrastructure spend. We'd like a much more concerted, coordinated effort to help the you know, property sector. I know that there's lots that have been announced, but I think the, you know, we can definitely see that with, from the data we're seeing, is that that's not really feeding through, and you know, on the physical market has to turn around before we can get much more confidence that the economy is on a more steady foot.
Ed was talking there in the news about Singapore relaxing some of the COVID restrictions, which will pretty much bring Singapore back to pre-pandemic levels then. And that has been a very vast turnaround in the last year when we still had borders shut this time last year. When do you see China making such an incredible pivot, and how is that going to change the dial here in terms of opening up the economy and creating broader economic growth when we're so far from that 5.5% target?
Yes, I think it's going to have to depend a lot on if they can get the vaccination a bit better. And of course, maybe potentially some drugs that would be helpful for the COVID situation for those who have not been vaccinated. So I think, I mean, what I'm hearing is that could be on the cards for early part of next year, obviously after the National Party Congress as well. So I think that could be what we're looking at to see where things could really turn around for COVID policy. And I think sometimes when we're feeling very low about China, I remind myself that only January this year, I was feeling very depressed about Singapore and thinking, are we ever going to resume normality? And what we do see is that when we do resume normality, it happens very quick and very fast. And I think that's what we have to kind of hold on to, the fact that once things are in place, we can turn around very quickly.
A very fast turnaround here in Singapore. But when it comes to the overall Chinese economic outlook, what is your forecast there in terms of growth? I mean, the 5.5% target has certainly been ditched, but are you more in that band of, say, 3.9%, 4.5%? What's your outlook for China?
Much closer to the 3 handle than a 4 handle, given, you know, everything we've seen. And given the fact that some of these things are beyond their control as well, particularly as you mentioned, Sichuan, the climate issue, I think we're beginning, to look at climate, not only here in China, but even, you know, when we look across Europe, you know, it is a big factor, one that I think could actually have a much more longer impact on inflation. When we think about, particularly in this region, food inflation is going to be very, very key. And some of these climate risks that we're seeing, you know, could have quite a major impact on that, and particularly, you know, as I say, the harvest season now, but then this feeds into next year, and of course, the gas prices on fertilizer. So again, climate, inflation, still very much on the radar for this region.
All right, let's talk about the China bond market. When you look at shares in China, they're down about 6% over the past month, whereas an MSCI gauge tracking the rest of developing markets is up about 7%, and it's similar in the bond market, with Chinese debt up just about 1% compared with a 4% return for emerging markets. When does that, I guess, divergence change?
I think we need to see the physical market, particularly for property in China, to turn around. And that's going to be very difficult, as we mentioned, talked a little bit earlier about COVID policy, right? So you can put stimulus and stuff in place, but, you know, until people have confidence in that in the economy and the physical market is better, I think that's hard. That's the first step that needs to get taken. And then obviously number of steps that can be done in policy, again, some fiscal stimulus I mentioned, as well as much more coordinated policy around funding. These are all the things that would need to help, you know, give that sector a much firmer footing, and then, of course, hopefully feed through to the rest of the economy. But none
so
of
a lot
those
of it,
things are quite there.
Yeah, a lot of it is about the property sector, as you say. When do you see a potential peak in defaults and, I guess, the worst behind us in the property sector?
I mean, the defaults are pretty, you know, they're high already. Hopefully, we are definitely at the bottom, if not. And certainly for the policymakers, that is their direction is definitely to make sure that, you know, we don't decelerate anymore and hopefully turn around. But I said, what can determine that is going to be the physical market. And that is still very cloudy at this moment. It's not very clear.
All right, so we're looking
at the conditions.
To how we're looking ahead to Jackson Hole 2 and what we're going to hear from the Fed and how that plays into the rest of the globe, I guess. You're talking about looking for some opportunity in some other EMs, but also in Indian high yield. Tell us what you like there.
Yeah, but I mean, the Indian economy is holding up quite well. The commodity, I mean, certainly with oil a bit lower, that's helpful for that. But I think just structurally, some of the companies there are just kind of quite well positioned, particularly in the debt market. Some of the steel companies that we're looking at there, and a lot of the renewables, you know, again, very structurally good, strong demand, and they're feeding into the whole idea that climate mitigation, climate risk is going to be something that, is big on investors' minds.
If we do see the Fed succeed in clamping down on inflation without causing a recession, what kind of areas of Asian credit do you see as benefiting here?
So I'd say most of Asia credit would be actually a big benefit. The IG, obviously, segment doing very well. Most of the companies there, including Chinese companies, would actually even benefit from that because, despite the slowing of the economy in terms of the most investment grade, the fundamentals are the companies themselves are actually quite strong. So that would also benefit. And say within high yield segments of it, away from, commodity names in Indonesia, in India, all benefiting. The only area that's very idiosyncratic will be Chinese property, and that's going to need, very much more Chinese policy makers to work on that side.
And are you confident that the Fed is going to achieve its target, or are we facing potentially a big, deep recession?
I actually think that they are doing the right thing. Certainly, they're giving the market a very strong signal that they do not want inflation expectations to be embedded. And if that caused the market to wobble, it's probably going to be better than it would be if they let inflation out of control. So I think of the two evils, I think tackling inflation is probably going to be much more better for the market in the long run. And certainly to make sure that we don't get embedded.
Tuha, it's been great to have you on. Thank you so much for your insights. Tuha Chow is head of Fixed Income Asia. Rebecca joining us from Singapore here on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.